September 2003.
Section A. Question 1. I can't understand why Bob isn't here yet. Do you think we should try to call him or go look for him?
He probably just got held up in traffic. Let's give him a few more minutes.
What are the speakers probably going to do? Question 2. Hi, Susan. Have you decided where to live when you get married?
I'd like to live in the downtown area near my work, but Nelson wants a house in the suburbs to save on expenses.
Why does Susan want to live in the city? Question 3. I'd like to buy a copy of Professor Franklin's book on American culture.
I'm sorry. The book has been out of print for some time now.
Where does the conversation most probably take place?
Question 4. I've just locked my keys in my room. Now what should I do?
I can't believe it. You're always so careless. Anyhow, let's calm down and try to figure things out.
What does the man suggest? Question 5. Can you give us your email address so we can get back to you as soon as possible?
I'll send you an email so we don't have to do the spelling on the phone, okay?
What are the speakers doing? Question 6. Hi, George. Could you give me a ride? I want to buy some food for the picnic.
Okay. I'm going home, but I can drop you at the supermarket.
What does the woman want to do? Question 7. My name is Helen Ware, W-A-R-E. Can I get a class permit for biology?
Oh no, not now. Registration for students whose last names begin with W doesn't start until tomorrow.
What does the man mean?
Question 8. What was the weather like when you left New York last week?
It was very much like the weather here in Beijing, so you needn't take a lot of clothes if you don't plan to stay there long.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 9. What are these things in our suitcase? There aren't any toys at all. Where have you put them?
Oh no, this is not our suitcase. The old lady must have taken ours by mistake. She was sitting next to us at the restaurant.
What can be inferred from the conversation?
Question 10. Are you really leaving for Hong Kong tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I guess so. I've got my air ticket, and I just can't wait to see Bill there.
What's the woman going to do?
Section B.
Passage 1. Pamela Royal and her partner, Edith Clark, are the owners of the Sea View Hotel in Brighton. As much of their business is seasonal, they do a good deal of the work themselves. In order to make a profit, it is necessary to keep down the cost of extra staff. Although they will never make a fortune, for the last 10 years, they have earned a reasonable living from the hotel. They work extremely well together, and each has her own duties. In general, Pamela does the bookkeeping. She is excellent with figures, and seldom makes a mistake. She also takes care of the decorations, particularly the flower arranging, which is her hobby. Edith, on the other hand, makes all the staff arrangements, and when necessary, does the cooking. She is a very patient woman, and if guests make complaints, she tries her best to solve their problems. However, the two ladies do not do all the work themselves. They usually employ college students to do the cleaning and washing up. Old Albert, who is a retired policeman, goes in 2 hours a day to do the gardening and take care of the swimming pool. Both ladies are very popular. They believe in having an informal relationship with their guests and often make friends with their regular visitors. Last month was their 10th anniversary in Brighton, and they had a dinner for their friends to celebrate. Pamela gave a speech, and everyone wished them lots of success for the future.
Questions 11 to 13 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 11. How do Pamela and Edith manage to keep down the cost of the hotel? Question 12. What jobs in the hotel are given to the college students? Question 13. Why are the two ladies popular in the area? Passage 2. Some people dream of being president of the United States, some of becoming stars in a Hollywood movie, and others of making millions of dollars overnight. Could a dream like that come true in real life? Well, it did happen to Peter Johnson. Peter was an auto mechanic. One day, he walked into the Union Trust Bank in Baltimore and took $5,000 that did not belong to him. The guards and other employees stood back and let him stuff the bills into his shirt and pants without trying to prevent him from taking the money. No one pressed an alarm. No one pulled a gun. No one called the police. Why did they allow him to get away with it? Well, everything was legal. Peter had won a contest promoted by a Baltimore radio station. The first prize entitled him to enter the Union Trust Bank and gather up as much money as he could lay his hands on within 5 minutes. Because he could not bring any large sacks or boxes into the bank, all the money had to be placed in his pockets. As the time went by, Peter ran about wildly and tried to pick up as many large bills as he could find. When his time was up, he was out of breath, but was $5,000 richer.
Questions 14 to 17 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 14. Why did Peter go to the Union Trust Bank? Question 15. What was Peter's job? Question 16. What did the guards do when Peter started gathering the money? Question 17. Why didn't Peter take more money from the bank? Passage 3. Larry Smith is one of the rescuers on the Golden Gate Bridge. His job is to save people who attempt to jump into the sea. If the telephone rings at 3 in the morning, he knows it's trouble. Someone is threatening to commit suicide. Larry will get his things ready, and in no time, he'll be out the door heading for the spot. If you aren't too late, Larry says, you climb out onto the cold steel and try to talk to the poor soul and pull him or her back to safety. Many suicide attempts are made on the spur of the moment, and lives can be saved. But if you fail, if the person jumps into that bottomless fog, there's no describing how helpless you feel. Often, would-be jumpers are driven to despair and see no hope of getting out of their misery. The trick is to open a channel of communication with them. Following are some tricks that have worked. Hey, if you're going to jump, at least give me your mum's phone number so I can call and tell her. That's a nice watch. If you're going to jump, can I have it? Sometimes all it takes is the voice of a human being who cares. Larry estimates he has rescued about 30 people in his 10 years of service.
Questions 18 to 20 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 18. What is Larry's job? Question 19. What is happening if Larry's phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning? Question 20. What does Larry Smith usually do to stop someone from jumping off the bridge?